praise the Lord, you are destined to win. God spoke to me in August of 1980 and said, to proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the word of God. The message that you're about to hear was recorded in a live meeting where the Lord used me to teach the uncompromising word of faith. So open your heart to receive the ministry of the word of God today, and you will be changed, empowered, and motivated to fulfill the word of God in your life. Well, praise the Lord. I want to pick up with a teaching that we began actually a while back on the website. We have a teaching posted called Don't Set Your Heart on Evil Things. We did it back in November, which is, as I record this, several months ago. I want to pick up with part two of this. Don't set your heart on evil things. And one of the reasons that I want to pick up on this teaching and conclude this teaching is to go a little bit different direction than we were going when we started. And I would encourage you to go back to the website and listen to that message, Don't Set Your Heart on Evil Things. That's the precursor to this message, and I believe that you will benefit from hearing that message first. Let's go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, and let's begin reading in verse 32. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Now, a lot of people have read this verse and compared this to the fig tree being representative of Israel, and saying that when the fig tree is tender and puts forth leaves, or in other words, when Israel is restored, you know that the coming of the Son of Man is nigh. And I don't have any problem with that. We're not going to get into a lot of eschatological teaching, which is teaching concerning the end times. That's not my purpose in this. But let's look at it in a broader sense, and I believe that we can do that from what he's saying here. It says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. In other words, basically, you can see when something is about to happen based on what's going on. And I think he makes that clear in verse 33, the very next verse. He says, So likewise ye, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now I want to spend just a second on that verse 36, Matthew 24, 36. Jesus said, The day and the hour knoweth no man. The angels of heaven don't even know. But Jesus said, The Father knows. Now, I bring this out because there's a whole lot of people teaching right now that they know the exact day and the exact hour that Jesus is going to come back. Let me tell you, that is directly contradictory of Scripture. In fact, this Scripture makes it very plain that's just not the case. No man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus did say, when you see these things start happening, you know it's near, even at the door. Now, I can't tell you when somebody's going to come, you know, knock on the door and tell you that exactly 3 o'clock they're going to be coming and knocking on the door. But when they get to the door, I know somebody's there. Well, Jesus is very close to coming back. And he gave us certain specific things that he said were signs of his soon return. Let's keep reading here in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, now this is the King James that I'm reading from. If you look at it in other translations, you'll see it's very clear. He's saying, as it is in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, he's saying, again, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season. We know the time. I believe that believers, in general, know that the time is near. Now, let's think about this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. I believe we can look at a broader context of this and see that what's going on now is what was going on in the days of Noah. Let's look at something from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, which when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was for a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him." But now let's go back and look at verse 20. "Which sometime these people, in the days of Noah, they were disobedient. When the long-suffering of God waited in these days of Noah, while the ark was for preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." That is, Noah and his immediate family were saved from the flood that came upon the earth. But what was said of those people in those days? They were disobedient. Now, actually, it goes further than that. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now think about that. Matter of fact, let's look at it from the Amplified. The Amplified Version says in Genesis 6:5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart." Oh my goodness, think about that. God regretted that he made man because man was thinking, and his intent and his imagination was only evil continually. Now, here's what I wanted you to see from all of this, all the scripture that we've read. What I want you to see is that in the last days, Jesus said, it will be as the days of Noah. What did he say was true of the days of Noah? Well, over in 1 Peter, we saw they were disobedient. What were they disobedient to? To the Word of God, to God Himself. And then we go back and we look at that day, in the days of Noah, and see how people were living, what they were doing, and what do we find? We find that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Man. Now think about that. And I want you to think about that and think about the fact that Jesus said, as we get closer to the end time, it will be like the days of Noah. Do you see what we're bringing out here from the Word of God? We're seeing that man's heart is set on evil. Now I'm talking about people that aren't born again. I'm talking about people that are out in the world. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." People who are not born again are of their father, the devil. And they follow after Satan's plots, plans, and schemes. They follow after what he wants them to do. And in fact, they always have followed after what he wants them to do. That's not unusual. But what we are seeing is more outright disobedience to the word of God, more outright evil taking place in the earth. Think about it. Have you ever seen a time in your life like it is today, where it seems that everything you see on TV, everything you read about, everything you hear is somehow evil or related to the plots, plans, and schemes of the devil? I'm telling you, this is a time that we have to be aware that Satan is, I hate to put it this way, flexing his muscles somewhat in the earth. These days that we're entering into in the last days are days in which, if we're not aware, if we're not purposely aware of what's going on in the latter days, we could be sucked into evil intent, design, and the schemes of the devil. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've read this before. It bears repeating. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, let's stop here and let's consider a couple of things. First of all, the Spirit speaks expressly. Now, I think it's interesting to see what the Amplified says here in this verse of Scripture. 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Now, let's go to verse 6. I would like this said of me as a minister. But listen what he says to Timothy here. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. If you lay all these instructions before the brethren, you will be a worthy steward and a good minister of Christ Jesus, ever nourishing your own self with the truths of the faith and of the good Christian instruction which you have so closely followed. Oh, brethren, think about that. If you'll lay these instructions before the brethren, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm laying this before you. You'll be a good steward and good minister of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ the Anointed One, ever nourishing your own self with the truths of the faith and of good Christian instruction which you so closely followed. Now let's go back to the King James, and I want to read it this way. It says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ, of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, the words of faith and good doctrine. The words of faith and good doctrine. What is it we teach? The word of faith message. That's what Paul said he preached. Matter of fact, if you go to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, verse 8 says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Who's the we? The we he's talking about is himself. I believe Barnabas. I believe Timothy. All the ministers that were with him, that regularly ministered to him. The we he's talking about are the ministers of that day and that hour that traveled with Paul. They were word of faith teachers. They taught the word of faith. Here he says, if you'll put Christians, in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished up in the words of faith, and I'll put it this way, in the word of faith that he preached, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now think about that. The word of faith that Paul said he preached is the word of faith that we're preaching. And the word of faith that we're preaching is good doctrine, sound doctrine. Now let's go back up to verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the word of faith message, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then he starts listing things that are false doctrines that we should be avoiding. And actually, these are false doctrines that were taught in Paul's day. We ought to be avoiding these things. Now, you might say, well, you know, Dr. Bill, I don't know too many people forbidding to marry. Well, there are cults that teach that you shouldn't marry. I don't know too many people that say abstain from meats. Well, you know, there's a lot of cults, a lot of false religions that teach that you shouldn't eat meat. You should be a vegetarian only. Now, he's making these points because these are things that were going on in his day. There were people in his day, as he wrote this, that were teaching and commanding to abstain from eating meat. They were teaching and commanding, as part of their doctrine, not to marry, not to eat meat, not to do certain things, to observe certain times and not other times. But Paul is saying here to Timothy, you need to hold fast to good, sound doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, it says in the King James, but over in the Amplified, I like what it says, whose instruction you have closely followed. He goes on to say, in verse 7 in the Amplified, but refuse and avoid irreverent tales, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourselves toward godliness or piety, keeping yourselves spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness or spiritual training is useful and valuable in everything and every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also the life which is to come. Now, what I want to key in on here is to train yourself in godliness and keep yourself spiritually fit. But further than that, these irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales are silly myths, express your disapproval of them. There's a lot of people that say, well, now, Dr. Bill, we're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to not be offensive in any way. And of course, if we hear somebody teaching something that is incorrect scripturally, why, we just overlook that and we go on. That's not what he says here. He says that we are to express our disapproval of them. When I see bad doctrine being taught, you know, I've talked a lot about the greasy grace teaching. And that's, I know a lot of people think that's a funny way of saying it, funny term, but it's the best way I know to get it across. Because, see, there's nothing wrong with grace. Praise God. I mean, grace is a key element of the gospel. But it's not grace that they're really teaching, not biblical grace. It's greasy grace. Or, you know, that people used to talk about sloppy agape. What does that mean? Well, it means, oh, we're supposed to love, 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 love. And by that, they twist the meaning of walk in love to mean never be offensive, never disapprove, never say anything that might seem harsh. You know, when Jesus took a whip and ran those guys out of the temple, I believe Jesus always walked in love. Well, he was walking in love when he ran the guys out of the temple with a whip. Oh, but that wasn't gooey, sloppy, agape love. No, it wasn't. Love, very often, is strong. It is direct. It is a parent who disciplines a child, operates in love. Now, at the moment, that child may not think that what they're doing is operating in love, but it most definitely is. It's hard to discipline a child at any time. As a parent, you love that child. But as a parent, because you love that child, you want to get them the benefit of your wisdom, the benefit of your knowledge. You want to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And if they do something wrong, you need to pull the slack out of them and straighten them out. That's love. And that's what Jesus was doing there in the temple, running those guys out of the temple. My house is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And he ran them out. Oh, but that's not sloppy agape. You telling me Jesus didn't always walk in love? Well, of course he did. But love, the way a lot of people teach it, isn't really love. And grace, the way a lot of people teach it, isn't really grace. That's my point. Greasy grace teaching is that you never have to do anything. God's just gonna wink at sin in your life. It doesn't even matter. You don't have to confess the sin anymore. You just kind of live how you want to live. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do nothing. And that's supposed to be grace. That's not grace. That's just laziness. That's being slack. It's being carnally minded. And you know what carnally minded leads to? Death. So God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be in tune with his word, in tune with his heart, in tune with his thoughts. And in fact, and this is a word that I've seen more and more this year of 2011 as I teach this. This is January 2011. And the Lord shared with me that 2011 is the year to draw closer to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about going home and be with the Lord going to heaven. I'm talking about drawing closer to his way of thinking, drawing closer to his agenda, if you will. And this is the term that he's given me, getting in God's agenda, getting in sync with his agenda, drawing closer to him so that we're part of his plans, his purposes, his pursuits. And that means we're going to have to pray more. That means we're going to have to stay in tune more. That means we're going to have to be more in keeping with what he has for us to do. And in order to do that, we're not to get drawn away with these crazy doctrines. We're not to get pulled off on greasy grace. We are to be keeping ourselves spiritually fit. I like this phrase that the Amplified uses. Now, it's not part of the literal translation, but it's part of the meaning of the verse that they've amplified here. Train yourself toward godliness and piety, keeping yourself spiritually fit. We need to be keeping ourselves spiritually fit. Now, he goes on to say that physical training and exercise is of value. There's no doubt about that. It'll build up in your body and build your muscles. But godliness or spiritual training is valuable and useful in everything that you do because it holds promise for the present life and for the life which is to come. It has to do with the natural body as well as the spiritual life ahead of us. Now, here's the thing. We've got to be in tune with what God's doing. We've got to exercise ourselves in spiritual things. One of the ways we do that is praying in the Holy Ghost. Book of Jude, it has one chapter, and the one chapter in verse 20 is very clear as to what we should be doing. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now notice it doesn't say building up your most holy faith. It says building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how do I keep myself in the love of God? I pray in the Holy Ghost. How do I build myself up on my most holy faith? I pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, in case you're wondering, praying in the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. You need to be doing that. You need to be actively, daily, setting aside time to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Maybe when you're driving down the road in the car. Whatever it is you're doing, take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost. You will be building yourself up on your most holy faith, and you will be keeping yourselves in the love of God. And we were talking about Jesus running those guys out of the temple and how that was operating in love because he was trying to get them to do what the Word of God said to do. Well, you keep yourself in the love of God. You keep yourself in the center of the love of God and of his will in your life, partially by praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up. See, the word that's used here is a word that means to edify, which means to build up. And it's just the same phrasing that you'd use about building up a car battery when you're charging it. You put it on the charger, it starts building that charge up. Slowly building the charge up. Well, it's the same way. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're going to be building that spiritual charge up in your spirit. You're going to be recharging yourself. See, you are building up, charging up yourself on your most holy faith. You're the one that's built up. You're the one that's charged. Not your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But praying in the Holy Ghost will build you up. It'll build you up on your most holy faith. And it will keep you in the love of God. It's a key thing. So I believe in this year, when we're to draw closer to heaven's agenda, one of the ways we do this is by praying in the Holy Ghost, setting aside time. One of the things that our church is doing later, as a matter of fact, later this month, is fasting. Nothing wrong with fasting. You can fast things as well as you fast food. One of the things that our pastor said is you might want to fast social media on the web, like Facebook or Twitter. Some people get so locked into that and so involved in that, they don't have time to do anything else. Every spare minute, they're sitting there tapping on their keyboard on Facebook. Well, maybe you need to fast that. You say, well, Dr. Bill, what am I going to do with my time? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Study the Word of God. Listen to Word of Faith Radio. Listen to good teaching tapes. Whatever. Build yourselves up spiritually. Get in tune with God's agenda in your life. Not the TV's agenda. Not the devil's agenda. Not even your best friend's agenda. Hey, come on with me and go fishing. Well, there's nothing wrong with going with him and going fishing. But if that's all you ever do is go fishing, if that's all you ever do is go play golf, when are you going to hear from God and get right in the middle of his agenda? See, I keep coming back to that. God's got an agenda. He wants you right in the middle of it. He wants you tied into it. So what do you need to do? You need to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need to get back to the things of God. Get in tune with the things of God. And when you do, you'll see a great change in your life. The people that have quit praying in the Holy Ghost, the people that have quit listening to the Word of God taught on a regular basis, the people that have slipped over into that greasy grace, anything goes doctrine, they're the ones who I believe are going to be left out of this great move of God that we're right in the beginning stages of. I don't want to be left out. I want to be right smack in the middle of it. Well, how am I going to be right smack in the middle of it? Keeping myself in God's agenda, keeping close to Him, staying with Him with what I'm doing and what I'm listening to and what I'm paying attention to. It's what you pay attention to that's in your heart. The more you do something, the more you stick with something, the more you'll hear yourself talking about that thing, whatever it is. If all you're doing, again, is golfing, you'll be talking golf all the time. Where you went to golf, how nice it was, what kind of score you had, whatever. You'll be talking about that all the time because that's what's going into your ears, going into your eyes, what you're thinking, what you're meditating on, what you're doing. Well, we need to direct ourselves to the Word of God. We need to hear from God. Now let's go back and think about what it was we started out with on this teaching. As it was in the days of Noah, we are entering into a time, and I believe have already entered into a time, that like in the days of Noah, people's thoughts are going in an evil direction continually. You see it in the news. You see it in terrible events that take place. And it just seems to be worse and worse and worse. Well, guess what? The world is headed down that direction. And as we saw from the scriptures just a few minutes ago, as we were reading over there in 1 Timothy 4, in the last times some shall depart from the faith. There are doctrines of devils out there. There are seducing spirits out there. And we need to be aware. And you know what it says there about disapproving a false doctrine? You need to not be afraid to disapprove of bad doctrine. Oh, but Dr. Bill, I'm supposed to walk in love. Yeah, but see, you got to get away from this sloppy agape definition of love. That doesn't mean, you know, my dad had a saying. He said, call a spade a spade. And what he meant by that was, just call it like it is. If you got a card in your hand and it's a spade or a heart or whatever that card is, that's what you call it. Well, when I see false doctrine, I call it. That's false doctrine. Oh, but what if you offend somebody? People get offended over nothing. Now, if they're teaching false doctrine, I don't particularly care if they get offended because I'm supposed to be paying attention to sound doctrine. And if the Holy Ghost said in 1 Timothy 4, through Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, I think he's speaking it expressly because it's an important thing to talk about. It's an important thing to say. Hey, there's doctrines of devils out there. There's false teachings out there. Brethren, stay away from them. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Refuse the profane and unwise fables. Refuse them. What does it mean to refuse them? Let's look at that. Let's look at that word refuse. It's the Greek word parahiteomhi. It means to deprecate, to decline, to shun, to avoid. That's pretty clear, isn't it? In other words, decline it, shun it, have nothing to do with it. When he says refuse, he says these false doctrines don't have anything to do with it. Oh, but I like reading those books when they come out to see what the new doctrine is. I don't really agree with it. I just like to read the book. That's not refusing it. That's not shunning it or declining it. If you're going to sit there and read the stupid book, you know, it used to be a book. Actually, it makes it cycles out there all the time. It's still in bookstores, unfortunately, called Pigs in the Parlor. And that doctrine is straight out of hell. It is a doctrine of devils. It is completely evil in every sense. Now, if I were to tell you, hey, folks, that book is completely of the devil, why don't you go buy it from the bookstore and read it and see what it's all about? Would that be refusing it? Would that be shunning it? Would that be declining it? No. You need to have nothing whatsoever to do with it. Don't let it in your eyes. Don't let it in your ears. Therefore, it won't get into your heart. We've got to refuse these false doctrines. And as I said about calling a spade, when they come up, you nail them. You say, huh, you know, I don't know, Dr. Bill. I mean, that's just pretty hard. Well, hey, the time has come when we need to be maybe hard in the classic sense of what people talk about. Because, see, they've got a false idea of what real hardness is. They got a false idea of what love is. Love calls that spade a spade. Love says that doctrine's a doctrine of devils so that you won't fall into it. Another crazy doctrine that came and went and came again are people that have services where they sprinkle gold dust and feathers out of their hands. It's of the devil. Randy Greer had a great article. I'd encourage you to go to his website and read the article on that particular thing, what the Lord showed him, not only supernaturally through revelation, but also through the scripture about that particular teaching. It's an amazing, wonderful article that he wrote. I've got an article on our website, Word of Faith Ministry site, that I'd encourage you to read. And that article is talking about this doctrine of devils that comes from this production, I don't know how else to put it, magic of feathers and gold dust. I mean, come on, folks. This is not what we ought to be doing. The teaching that I'm talking about is an article I wrote back in November 2008. It's called Strange Fire, Don't Get Distracted. And I start the article in Numbers 26:61, where it says, "And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord." We're told that our God is a jealous God, Deuteronomy 4:24. He expects us to worship Him in His way and not get pulled away by distractions of unsound doctrine. We are also told that the immature are often carried about with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I'd encourage you to go on the website and read that article about strange fire. If you want to find it quickly, you can just go up to the upper right-hand corner, type in strange fire, and click search, and that article will come up. You can read it. But it's not my purpose to reteach that. My purpose is to show you that there's all kinds of doctrines out there that we need to refuse and not get distracted by them. Avoid them. Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such as serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." We could say their own self-interest. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." We need to follow after only the Word of God, folks. And we need to be sure that we're not following after these strange doctrines, that we're not getting caught up in greasy grace, that we're not getting caught up in all these crazy things that are being taught, because the Spirit has expressly warned us that these things are coming, and I believe are here. So we need to draw closer to God in this time. And I just believe that this is serving as a wake-up call for a lot of folks. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be harsh just for the sake of being mean and harsh. No, I'm saying it's time to get serious. I'm saying it's time to stay with the Word of God. And there are those of us that have been ringing this warning bell. And so that's why I wanted to get back to this teaching and conclude this teaching of don't set your heart on evil things. I believe one of the ways you set your heart on something evil is to get caught up and pulled off in this bad doctrine, false doctrine. And there's just so much of it out there. I tell you, as a teacher of the Word of God, I am stunned by how much junk's going on in the body of Christ when it comes to false teaching. And there's plenty of good, sound teaching out there that we need to be listening to. We don't need to be listening to the junk. Even for research purposes. "Oh, brother, I'm just studying this. I'm just reviewing this. I'm just reading this book for research purposes so I'll know how to counter it." You know how you counter false doctrine? You teach sound doctrine. You don't have to look at the false doctrine and line by line by line teach against it. What you need to do is go to the Scripture and line by line by line teach the Word of God. And that will counter, and that will immediately clear up false doctrine, because you'll be teaching sound doctrine. Do you see that? I trust you do. And I trust that you take this message in the spirit that I'm giving it, which is of concern, of desire to see you exercise yourselves in spiritual things exercise yourselves in sound doctrine and stay with the word of faith. That's what you need to do. Praise the Lord. So, we'll stop here. I wanted to conclude this message. We had part one out there. I wanted to finish this particular thought with part two and conclude this. We're going to get into some other things as we go forward here. But you need to take this as a wake-up call and listen to the Spirit of God. He's speaking expressly what's happening in these last days. And just as it was in the days of Noah, there are people who are disobedient. There are people whose thoughts are evil continually. And we are going to be teaching the truth of God's Word. Amen? Amen. Well, remember until next time to fulfill the Word of God. I trust that you receive from the ministry of the Word of God today. If you'd like to contact me, you may write me at Dr. Bill Bailey, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. Or you may email me at this address, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. If God speaks to your heart about supporting our ministry financially, or you would like to receive more teaching messages from the Word of God, check out our website at www.wofm.org. I believe and agree with you for the full 100-fold return on your giving. I also believe and know that God is richly blessing you and your family every day in every way. Praise God, you are blessed and highly favored.